Coming to you live from the Morningstar Mission Sponsor Studios, this is Carl and Crew Mornings on 90.1 FM Moody Radio.
You consider yourself a movie person? You like to sit down and watch a good movie?
I love going to the movies.
You love the theater.
I do.
Yeah.
Young Thunder, you a movie person?
Oh, yeah. My wife and I's preferred date is to go to the movie theater. We love the movies.
You know, I wouldn't say I'm much of a movie person, but there's something about a good movie that doesn't just entertain you. Entertainment is important.
Of course.
Makes you think, makes you maybe consider some things that you hadn't, or look at something differently, brings you into a story. I mean, movies make you feel something. I have a question for you this morning. What is the most impactful movie that you remember seeing? A movie that just, man, it stuck with you. Could have been, we watched it last week, could have been 10, 15, 20 years ago. But text me on this one. I would love to hear from you. What is the most impactful movie that you've seen? Text us 312-274-9624. Just give us the name of the movie. Don't need the story, but I would love to hear from you. What is the most impactful movie that you've seen? 312-274-9624. Remember seeing The Passion of the Christ in theaters?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Sitting
there, and you can't kind of sit back and watch that movie like, oh, well, this is interesting. This is all, wow, great cinematography. Look at the, you know, you just, that one,
yeah.
I remember feeling lots of things, lots of emotion, just kind of spellbound in the best possible way.
It was different. I think that was the first movie that really portrayed that on the screen in a way that I don't think people had seen before.
And the hammering of the nails and just being confronted with the graphic nature of the suffering of Jesus. And, you know, what was it for you? I'd be curious. Maybe it was a Christian movie. Maybe it was something else. Young Thunder, anything come to mind for you?
Yeah, the first thing that came to mind for me, I was a kid. We had this on, I think, VHS or DVD in our home. It was called Radio. It was about this little town. It was back in the day, so it was very racially divided. And it was about a special needs man who this white football coach took kind of an affection towards and brought him into the team. And it's just about how he navigated that, because his players hated it at first, then the fans hated it. And it was just about caring for people in the midst of opposition from everybody else. The compassion that was had and the connection that was made between Radio and between the coach because of their willingness to care for each other despite the opposition.
It was a true story.
Was a true story.
Mm-hmm. Super Die, what do you think? What movie comes to mind for you?
One of my favorites, because I know I'm like, how do I land? But Field of Dreams. I mean, it's baseball season. I love,
absolutely love
Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can build it, they will come. But I mean, just that one scene, especially when he begins to play catch with his dad. It's just beyond, like, tears everywhere from everyone. But yeah, Field of Dreams is one of my favorites.
Got some good feedback coming in. Ordinary People says 6231. A couple votes for Passion of the Christ. Sound of Freedom has come in a couple times. That's a newer one that just recently came out in the last year or so. Fireproof, 7812. Another Sound of Freedom. What do you say? What's the most impactful movie that you've seen? 312-274-9624. Just give us a text, 312-274-9624.
It's like coffee, but for your ears. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
Loving hearing about the movies, not just your favorite movie, but the movie really that most impacted you. Lots more answers. Schindler's List, that's an absolute. That's probably at the top of, if you ask,
gigantic,
kind of like movie collectors.
Yeah,
that's probably towards the top. Hidden Figures, The Help, Shawshank Redemption. I'm not endorsing any of these movies. I have not seen them all.
But great,
just reading them as they come in. Remember the Titans?
Yes.
Yeah.
That one. Yeah. That's
a great movie.
Definitely an impactful movie. War Room, The Notebook. Remember the Titans, the classic Ten Commandments. Risen, Great Expectations, which they said is a BBC miniseries version, Dead Poets Society, a Christian movie called A Thief in the Night. You can keep your answers coming in, 312-274-9624. Coming up, we're going to feature a movie that just came out on Friday. Maybe you've seen it or at least heard about it. It's called Unsung Hero. We're going to have the opportunity to chat with Helen Smallbone, who is one of the main characters in that movie. Also, the mom of For King and Country stars, Joel and Luke. Is that correct?
That's correct. And Rebecca St. James.
And Rebecca St. James. Let's talk about this movie. Maybe it'll make someone's list. Unsung Hero coming up.
Start your day moving closer to Jesus. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
Well, she's a mom of seven whose love for God and commitment to her family inspired a movie that's now playing on the big screens. Maybe you've heard of it. The movie's called Unsung Hero, based on the real life story of Helen Smallbone and her family. We've got Helen with us this morning. How does it feel to have your family, your story, played out on a big screen? What does that feel like?
It's absolutely crazy. You know, when an idea is suggested, David and I were not responsible for this idea. It actually came through our son, Luke, who's in For King Country. He suggested it because he tells our story a lot of times when he talks about compassion in his concerts. And he had found that there had been a lot of response to his talk and to what he said. And so he was the one who came up with it and said, I think we need to do a movie about mum and dad's story. And then he got a producer interested who said he could raise the money. And then he went to Joel, and then Joel carried it.
Such an incredible story. Let me give you a little bit of a background. So, mother of seven, her daughter, you may have heard of, Rebecca St. James, and two of her sons are For King and Country stars Luke and Joel Smallbone. Let's hear a little bit about you, Helen, though, before we get to your super talented kids. You grew up in Australia, the daughter of a minister. But it wasn't until your teens when you really committed your life to Christ. Tell me about that.
I didn't realize, I suppose, even growing up in the church, that you actually needed to make, you know, a commitment for yourself. I think I always grew up thinking, oh, you know, I knew nothing different, I suppose. But at 14, I went to a Billy Graham crusade and was actually in the choir when he came down to Sydney. I felt the call of God to give my life to him. And I noticed a huge difference afterwards. It was like the Bible, the verses in the Bible just jumped off the page at me. It was a whole different feel. And really, from then on, it's just been, you know, a continual growth.
She married her husband, David, at the age of 20. They went on to have seven children. You were living in Australia, but then a bit of a financial crisis forced you to pick up and make a major move. Tell us about that.
David had three major doors close in his life. He was a concert promoter in Australia. He had a record company. Concert promotion was committed into Christian music. The late 80s, he promoted a concert tour, brought an international artist down from America. It was a big tour, and we lost about $250,000. He then had another door close. He had been recording praise and worship music, recording at Hill CLC, and on his 40th birthday, they told him that they were going to bring it back in-house, and they didn't need him anymore. And then the third major door to close was we were going to come over and set up a record company for the artist Carmen, and we were going to move to Tulsa. He bought our airfares as a family to come over. Carmen changed his mind and said he didn't want us anymore. As you can imagine, that was the darkest weekend of our life. It was Easter 1991, and we were reeling, not knowing what we were going to do.
So you were a woman of faith. You had your husband. You had your kids. What did you do? Like, how did you cling to God in this dark weekend, not knowing what was going to happen to your family?
I think that weekend we were all a little shell-shocked, and we actually went away for the weekend, and we just gathered as a family and was just like we had to get our heads together, had to just be with one another. Not long after, you know, family members suggested that maybe David could sell real estate or just have a major career change, and he said to me, I just can't do anything else. It's all I know. All I know is music. And all I'm passionate about is Christian music, making music that makes a difference in people's lives. So he came over a few months later to America in August 1991. The six kids, I'm pregnant with number seven, no health insurance, no money behind us, and 16 suitcases.
Oh, boy. That's where it gets really good. Helen Smallbone, our guest right now. Coming up, let's get to the rest of the story. Unsung Hero is the movie we're featuring right now. Helen Smallbone, our guest. More coming up here on Carl and Crew Mornings.
Discipleship to start your day. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
Well, have you heard of the movie Unsung Hero? Helen Smallbone, our guest right now, inspired by the real life story of her and her family. So you arrive, you leave Australia, you arrive in the U.S., 16 suitcases, you're pregnant with child number seven, and you are starting completely over. That takes a step of faith, right?
I think it takes craziness. I look back now and think, what on earth were we thinking? But you know what, Ali, when you get to a point where your options are limited, where you know there's an opening, you just take the next step forward and trust God is going to lead you. The craziest thing for us was we did take the next step forward coming here, anticipating starting afresh. But 2 months after we got here, we had no furniture in our home. We had no car. We really didn't have any way of getting any of that stuff because we had no money. And David lost the job he came over for. His reputation as being a loser from Australia came over here, and people didn't want to work with him. And so the artist had to let him go. Now, that was really, really scary, because then you're like, well, now we're on the other side of the world. We've got nothing. And now we've even lost the income we had. But God had a better plan. He really wanted to reveal who he is and for us to walk on a journey of trust that he was leading us on. And we started to see the miraculous. And our pastor said, if you want to see a miracle, need a miracle. And I sometimes think that we're so busy looking after ourselves, God actually doesn't need to turn up.
Wow. Helen Smallbone, our guest right now. And three of your children are... Their names, all of their names are known to you. Three of your children, the names are known to many. Rebecca St. James, your daughter, and two of your sons, Luke and Joel Smallbone, for King and Country Stars. This movie talks a lot about your journey as a wife, as a mother. What's the biggest lesson you learned as a woman of faith as you both tried to support your husband in his career and shepherd your children as they went into the music industry as well?
Obviously, there's a lot of things that you learn when you're pushed into some trials and some hard times. That's when God really refines you. He reveals more of who he is and often more of who you are. But some of the biggest things that I learned is that God is good and he's trustworthy. The plans that he has for us are good, and he had good plans for us. He just had to take us through this time. I've learned too that closed doors aren't always a disaster. Closed doors is when we go back to God and say, okay, you obviously got my attention now. I'm listening. What are you doing and where are you taking me? And then you trust him. You pray. You look for him. Then you take the next step. And often that next step is not your destination. It's not where he's going to lead you. It's just the next step on the journey to get there. And our next step for us in those days was actually working together. And it was really the kids and the family working together that put food on the table.
So what's your hope? What's the message that you want people who watch this movie? Obviously, they'll learn a lot about your family, but it's much more than that. What do you want people to take away when they leave the theater?
I actually don't necessarily want people to learn more about our family. I want people to go to this movie and I suppose be challenged in their faith. The theme of the movie is really about family. There's two significant statements that are being made. One is your family's not in the way, they are the way. And then there's a statement at the end of the movie that I think sums up the whole movie and I want people to take away. And it's actually from Mother Teresa. And it says, if you want to change the world, go home and love your family.
Wow.
So I've even seen people, particularly in the early days when we were doing testing screenings, that came from Hollywood that weren't believers. They weren't even living our lifestyle. And they watched the movie and it impacted them. The guy who was doing the test screenings actually had to leave the theater to get himself back into control. God's going to use it in some pretty positive ways. And I certainly hope that is the case.
Beautiful. Helen Smallbone, our guest this morning. The movie's called Unsung Hero. Check it out, unsunghero.movie, unsunghero.movie. Thank you so much for spending some time with us this morning. Unsunghero.movie, unsunghero.movie.
Once upon a time, you were 25, walking up the aisle. You made the promise of your life. Blinked twice and you were 29, singing lullabies. And I looked up at you for the first time. Words fall short, but I am sure they'll never be anyone like you. You're strong like your father, even when you were scared. When I was in trouble, you never left me there. And you love like your mother, like there's nothing to lose. You're an unsung hero. So I sing this song for you. Woke up, I was 21, and I fell in love. Remember how I told you that I'd search the world and I found the girl. And oh, how she reminds me of you. Strong like my father, even when I'm scared. And when someone's in trouble, I'll never leave them there. And I love like my mother, like there's nothing to lose. You're my unsung hero, and I sing this song for you.
Your hearing. You ever gotten one of those
what?
Hearing? Funny, super die.
Thank you.
You ever done a hearing test?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Remember in school we used to have them?
Yeah, the middle school.
Or do they still do that?
Hearing tests. I think so. I think they have to.
What would they do? They
raise your hand.
Put a little headphone thing
noises
on you. And if you heard a beep on one side, you'd have to raise your hand on that one side. And then, you know, then they get real quiet, the little beeps, and you have to detect if you could hear it or not.
You know, I remember there was a time when a short period of time in my adult years where my hearing was dulled.
Okay.
I went to see a doctor, and there was basically just kind of some obstruction that was keeping me from being able to hear fully.
Too much earwax.
And
huh?
I didn't. Thanks, Jonathan. Thanks, Jonathan.
Finish the story.
Sorry.
Just never mind.
But I didn't know that I wasn't hearing well. Like I wasn't aware. And then after I went to the ear doctor and they were able to kind of like fix what was going on, I remember walking out of the doctor's office and it was like something out of a movie where all of a sudden it was like someone had turned up the dial like by like 10,000.
Yes.
And I started hearing like candy wrappers and all of these things crackling. Aww. And literally like my head was turning like, whoa, clearly I've been missing something.
Oh, that's crazy.
I didn't even realize that I wasn't really hearing everything. Coming up, a passage of scripture that I read recently that really challenged me about how I'm hearing, not in the physical sense, but spiritually.
New to the show? We're glad you're here. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
If you have a kid like my kid, my son loves video games. He does. We got to put limits on him because time passes just totally undetected.
Oh, yeah.
While he's playing these video games.
That
he really likes
get better.
To play Madden. And he likes to play, I think it's called 2K.
Yeah, NBA 2K.
Yep, NBA 2K. And
very familiar with those.
He'll come upstairs and he'll announce some really incredible feat that he's done. Yes. And I'll say, you know that that's not real life, right? Just to remind him. Like, Mom, we just played these guys 3-on-3 and I did, and I'm like, okay, but great, but you know that it's not real life. And there are times when he's within earshot and I'm calling his name. Cannon. Hey, Cannon. Cannon, I need you to come upstairs and sweep the floor. And it's not that his ears aren't working.
Sure. Yeah.
But something happens between the sound of my voice coming into his space where these video games have his attention.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't hear me at all.
Yeah. Young
Thunder, you've
hearing.
Never done this, right? You've never done this. You've never not heard something because
you were
so engrossed in the video game.
I can still do this. That's what I was saying. Like the need for a time stopper and not listening because I'm so focused on something. I mean, that doesn't get better. You're going to have to keep the timer thing going and you're going to have to call his name a couple of times.
Like, do you hear me? Oh, Mom. I'm like, how many times did I say your name?
Hmm.
I heard it. I heard it once, maybe twice. I'm like, 5 or 6 times is more like it. Super Die.
Oh, please. The selective hearing. Yes. I have a teen. So, I mean, and what gets me sometimes, I'll say something in another room. He hears that, but you don't hear me when you're standing right in front of me.
No, it's amazing.
It's amazing.
The selective hearing.
Yeah.
So the video games, that alone proves that it's possible to hear, as in the sound hits your ears. I don't know how that works, so I'm not going to get scientific on you. But it's possible for the sound to reach you, but you don't really hear what's being said. I'm going to read you a passage of scripture out of Luke 8. You know, and this is a repeated theme throughout scripture. And for years, I would read passages like this and I would keep on going, but I didn't really understand what it meant.
Hmm.
Is that okay to admit?
Yeah, of course it is.
And then when I realized what it meant, I was like, oh, this is definitely something to pay attention to. This is Luke 8:18. Take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. What in the world? Take care then how you hear. This is repeated throughout scripture. And in Luke 8 alone, there's like 4 different mentions of the way you hear. So how you hear is certainly of vital importance. We'll break down this passage of scripture coming up here on Carl and Crew Mornings.
Everything you need to start your day right. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
How you hear is of vital importance. You know, if you ever got scolded for not really listening, you're sitting in class, you're looking the part, your head is nodding, but my daughter used to laugh. There was a kid who made it all the way through 8th grade, and he would always have his hood up. And the teachers never really picked up on the fact that he had AirPods in the entire school
day. Hello, I could have told you what
through
was
all that? Of I know through all of 8th grade.
I love it.
But he'd sit there, you know, quietly, wasn't disruptive.
Nod his head.
And they don't, you know, the old school. I'm calling myself, I'm dating myself here. The old school kind of rules, the dress code rules don't really apply. I'm seeing in a lot of school districts. Mm. They've kind of, at least the ones that my kids have been in.
What dress codes are you thinking of?
I mean, I remember being in school. You definitely couldn't wear hats.
You couldn't have a hood up.
You couldn't have a hood up.
Hood up, yeah.
You couldn't, for girls, you couldn't have like midriff exposed.
Yeah.
You couldn't wear like.
Yeah, that was the same for me too.
You couldn't have, like, there was all kind of rules. You had to, like, you know, you had to have your pants kind of up to your waist. There were lots of, but you know what? I think that we've moved away from trying to enforce dress code rules
because yeah,
hoodies
right.
are fine. I think midriffs, from what I'm seeing, midriffs are apparently fine in schools as well.
I'm seeing just a lot of pajamas.
Pajamas.
Flannel are big. Bottoms are ridiculous.
But I digress.
Yes.
How you hear really matters. Coming up, back to scripture.
Helping you take the next step in your walk with Jesus. This is Carl and Crew Mornings.
You ever heard the saying, the rich get richer?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and in a way that doesn't really feel right, that the rich should get richer. Sometimes our sensibilities kind of push back against that. Well, you know, shouldn't everybody get something?
Yeah.
Let me go to the scripture. You'll see where I'm going with this. Luke 8:18. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given. To the one who has, more will be given. Sounds like the rich get richer to me.
It does.
And from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. That's Luke 8:18. Let me read a similar passage to you out of Mark 4:24-25. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. See that again? Rich get richer. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. I read passages like this in my Bible read-throughs for a lot of years before one day I was like, what does this mean?
Well, it makes sense because obviously the phrasing rich get richer usually goes up to, you know, a greedy rich person yeah. often gets richer. And it's like, well, that doesn't seem like a biblical principle. So this must mean something different, but I mean, it's fair. I'd be confused too.
What does it mean? And so in essence, when we hear the word of God, we are responsible for what we do with it. And it's possible to take in truth and for it to do nothing to you. It's possible, just like my son, who stops being able to hear all other communication when he gets engrossed in his video games. He doesn't hear simple commands. He doesn't hear instructions to do chores. He doesn't even hear his own name because the video games have his attention. It's possible to hear but not really receive. A Moody Bible commentary says this, a person is judged by the light he receives, so one should be careful what he listens to. God gives additional revelation to individuals who respond positively to light. Those who turn from the truth may find that the truth is taken away from them.
Mm. Whoa.
Sobering, right?
Absolutely.
So this the principle here is when you hear the word of God, you take it in. I'm going to read another verse because scripture interprets scriptures. You hold it fast in an honest and good heart. That's out of verse 15, also Luke 8. It causes fruit bearing in your life. You know what happens when you take in the word that way? More is given to you. Mm-hmm. You're entrusted with more. The flip side, when you take in truth, it kind of washes over you, doesn't really make an impact in your life. It's just another thing added to your Rolodex of stuff you know. Take care. Take great caution. Because according to the word of God, even what he thinks he has will be taken away.
That's a scary thought.
It is.
Eventually, you know, it's like, it's almost like the principle of how, you know, the Holy Spirit works in like a conscience. The more you ignore it, the quieter it gets.
Yes.
And eventually you're just going to stop hearing it all altogether. Eventually, the truth that you think you do have will be taken away from you.
And so then when I really start to see this, it's everywhere. You think about the house that's built, In Matthew 7, mm-hmm. One house is built on the rock, one house is built on the sand. Both heard the word, but what was the difference?
One applied it.
One applied it. So this, we want to, so just a word of caution, just kind of a short little devotional thought. Be aware of what you're hearing and how you're applying. It's great to listen to podcasts, and I'm speaking to myself, maybe top of list. I love learning new things about the scripture. I love listening to podcasts. I love checking out a new book when we have another author. But I have to be on guard that I don't just continue to take in lots of information about the Word of God, lots of new and insightful insights, without actually applying it. Because I want to be a good steward of what I'm hearing, applying it, allowing it to bear fruit in my life. Therefore, more will be given to me because I don't want to just be a knowledge broker. Mm. There you have it. Luke 8. Check it out. And if you want to do a little interesting exercise, count the number of references just in that one chapter about hearing the word. I counted at least 4 different times in one chapter where it talks about how you hear the word. Go through, do it today. Maybe you'll find more than that. Maybe I missed one. Luke 8, check it out. Coming up, we are going to continue our special series on Israel. What's really going on inside Israel? We had a team who spent some time there collecting stories, collecting information, just to try to help us pray, to try to help us really get an understanding and some context for what's happening. So more from John Gager, Inside Israel, coming up.
Helping you start your day with a boom. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
We've been bringing you these features, Inside Israel, the war and what's next. It's part of a feature that our team put together. We had a couple of folks from Moody Radio go over to Israel, spend some time collecting stories. Today's feature, I want you to imagine standing in a safe room while terrorists pound on your door. What would be going through your mind? What emotions would you be feeling? Moody Radio's John Gager has this report.
Meet Hadas Elon, living at Kfar Aza, a kibbutz just 2 miles from Gaza. Hadas was used to the idea of bombing sirens, but she'll never forget her first clue that something was different on October the 7th.
The moment we understood that something is different is the moment that we saw people sending pictures. One of them sent a picture of a paraglide that was in the middle of the kibbutz. And we also saw a movie of a pickup truck full of terrorists that is breaking the fence of the kibbutz and getting in with a lot of terrorists on it.
Clearly, it didn't look good. But just how bad was bad?
Slowly, texts are starting to come in of citizens that are crying for help. Some of them said that terrorists are running towards their houses. Some of them said that they hear shootings all around. And then people really saw from their windows people getting shot and killed.
And that thought drove Hadas Elon's brother, Tal, to take his stand.
He went to take the guns from the armory. We know he shot some terrorists on the way to protect other citizens. And he got shot by terrorists that wore IDF uniforms. He managed to record a message to his people on the squad that there are terrorists that are wearing IDF uniform and that he was shot. And he said, first, kill them, and then we will take care of the wounded.
By now, the conflict felt louder and closer to home. Hadas recalls.
Then we started to hear shootings at our safe room and glass being broken. And we were really, really scared. And then somebody was running towards our door. Me and my brother, we jumped on the door. We held it very tightly. We held the handle and we started to struggle with them. I grabbed a knife, a kitchen knife that we had in the safe room, and I held it. I knew we have to stay alive and have to protect our family.
Bear in mind that this was no one-hour assault. It went on for hours and then days. In that small safe room with Hadas, her mother, brother, 15-year-old daughter, and 15-year-old niece.
We already didn't have electricity. We didn't have air conditioner or light. We had 2 candles that they just turned off in a certain stage because of a lack of oxygen. I tried to relight them, but the matches wouldn't lit.
Trying to nurse along the batteries in their cell phones, they finally made contact with Israel's defense forces, which was good news and bad news.
They didn't know we were there, but now they know we're there. But they cannot rescue us because the house is under attack. And there's a massive attack around it of terrorists against the army. They said, hold the door very tightly. Don't let anyone in. These were scary moments because we know the IDF. And if the IDF cannot rescue us, then who can?
The phone call was a reality check for the five lives in that safe room.
We really thought that it might be over in a few minutes or hours. We don't know.
Adding to the tension, another visit from Hamas.
Around the morning, we hear somebody running again towards the door. We jump on the door again. Me with the knife. My brother holds the handle. That was the second time terrorists came to try to open it.
Their options were few, but they still had a working phone and the hope of rescue by the Israel Defense Forces.
We called them again. We said that we need water. We are very exhausted. We didn't drink. We didn't eat for more than 30 hours. And they said, okay, we'll try to take care of you. A minute after that, somebody ran into our house again. And we thought it's too soon. It couldn't be that this guy said, yeah, we're going to bring you a bottle of water. And a minute after that, they're bringing us. So we jumped at the door again. They tried to struggle with us again. And then they ran. And about 20 minutes later or so, the army came.
And what was that moment like?
So they opened the door. And we see all the house full of smoke and shootings, shattered glasses. And we see a wall of soldiers standing and making a wall between us and the other rooms of the house. And we ran outside. And 15 minutes later, they shot inside with a tank to kill the two terrorists that were hiding in one of the rooms.
Consider, the home that Hadass grew up in was blown up. Her brother Tal was dead. But Hadass carries on, making just one request. Tell our story. She says you've heard it firsthand. Now, tell it to others. For Moody Radio, I'm John Gager, Inside Israel. Listen to our one-hour special at moodyradio.org/specials.
Powerful reporting by John Gager. If you want to hear that entire special, we've made it easy for you. Just text the word special to 312-274-9624. Text special 312-274-9624.
Find us on social media. Just search Carl and Crew Mornings on Facebook and Instagram.
Hey, I want to make sure you know about something, a giveaway happening here at Moody Radio. This is a big one. It's our Mother's Day, Mother Like No Other giveaway. This, you can win it for yourself, mom, grandma, or you can win it for the mom in your life. It's going to be valued at $750, a really great prize pack. The biggest piece of this is a stay at the historic Cloran Mansion out in Galena. We're going to cover gas money, some shopping money so that you can go shopping in the downtown area or shopping online. Ooh, just treat yourself. Treat herself. A relaxing stay.
It's a game. You ready?
It's called I Love My Mom.
Okay, I'm like, wait, what's happening? Oh, wow.
I love my mom. I love
keep
my
going.
Mom. I love
it
my
doesn't
my
quite fit, but amazing, because this is not relaxing.
No. So turn it off.
Text the word mom. A for effort there.
Thank you.
Right.
Trying.
That's right. Dear Queen.
Text the word yes. Mom to 312-274-9624. If you want the details on this giveaway and to get signed up, just text mom to 312-274-9624. Mom to 312-274-9624. The topic was spot on, Jonathan. Spot on.
I'm trying my best here.
Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew, and I'm so grateful that you listened to this showcast. Thank you mostly for being part of the Boom Crew. As we help you take your next step with Jesus, you're a huge encouragement to us. We'll be here again live every weekday morning from 5 to 9 a.m. Godspeed.